Stocking up on groceries is taking a bigger chunk of family budgets. We're learning why food prices are climbing and what to expect at the supermarket on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now let's check in on our fall member drive. I'm here with Mike Crane. Hi, Mike.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And we're here to say you count on the Ideas Network for interesting, thoughtful conversations. We count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
Listener support is, after all, the largest piece of funding. It makes this show and all the others on the Ideas Network possible. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And today, your donation to WPR will be matched. A group of generous members have created a challenge up to $60,000, and it means they'll match every gift right now for as long as it lasts.
What, you said $60,000?
$60,000. This is like match made in heaven.
Yeah. This obviously, it's to encourage your support of WPR programming. People who are already members feel like you should join in, and they're right. It helps to inspire all of us here in Wisconsin to have the Ideas Network and NPR here. Double your impact right now with a $60,000 challenge, a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, a large slice of funding for WPR programs, that is the biggest slice of all, is listener support. So while all of our other funding sources, state, federal, businesses, support there are important, of course, your contribution, that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is, thanks to your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Because you're a listener, you're part of the Wisconsin Public Radio family, for sure. And whether you've been listening for years or just a few months, you can also become part of our family of members, people who support the programs they count on.
And if you've never given before, start with a gift of $120, or better yet, make that an ongoing gift of $10 a month. Your contribution of any amount, it makes you a member. Makes you a member, any amount. And because the largest piece of our funding comes from members, you'll really make a difference. It all starts with your gift, which will be matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Oh, go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer Kent. I'm here with Mike Crane, and it's your support during this fall member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
I really enjoyed hearing that testimonial. You know, just to be of good use, that what a great way to think of what Wisconsin Public Radio tries to do every day, to be of good use to you. And, you know, giving to WPR is easy. It just takes a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, perhaps $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you again and again, every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Our big dollar for dollar match is still in effect, and it's going to be all day for $60,000 of matching dollars. A great time to support the WPR programs you love at WPR.org or 888 202 2552.
And you can support the programs you value and ask for your WPR long sleeve shirt. It has a light blue Wisconsin inspired design and a soft navy shirt, perfect for the fall. Ask for yours with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a quick thank you or to Aubrey and Grafton. Thank you. And Aubrey says, I listen every day. Every moment of my car time is spent soaking up WPR. And Grace in Green Bay says, I listen every morning with my one-year-old son. All right, getting it started the right way.
Absolutely. Love it, love it. Those car seat listeners, your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org. And thanks. Food prices, they are spiking. We're finding out why and what this has to do with supply chain disruptions a year and a half into the pandemic. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that General Mills, the maker of your Cheerios and Yoplait yogurt, by the way, facing hundreds of disruptions across its global food operations, and that leads to higher prices, ultimately, at the supermarket. Have you noticed a jump in your grocery bill? How has it affected what you put in your cart? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Brandon Scholes is president and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association. Brandon, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me on today.
Yeah, well, we see those numbers out of the Labor Department that grocery prices have jumped nationally more than 8% over, you know, year over year. What are you seeing here in Wisconsin?
We see the same thing. It's been a slow increase. You know, when price changes and price increases come to products and they show up at the grocery store, grocers try and absorb some of that increase, but at some point it becomes too much, and those costs have to be passed on. And as you mentioned leading into this, where do these price increases come from? You know, who's responsible? Where does it start? In the pandemic and where we are now, it really is an across the board situation. You can really go back to where the product starts, whether it's a raw material, whether it's production line, growers, everybody has had some increased cost for a variety of reasons. You know, the labor workforce has been a challenge. Everywhere along the line, companies are paying more to bring people to work. You know, whether it's workforce, whether it's lack of drivers, all these things add up along the way. So when the product is grown or made, it then goes into how it's packaged, and then it goes into the supply, and then it goes to the supplier, and then it gets on a truck and shows at the store. And everywhere along the way, you could see a little price increase.
Our higher inputs, yeah. And I think that leads into, you know, we keep hearing about supply chain disruptions, which is a very vague term, can mean a lot of different things. In the grocery industry in particular, and you've named, you know, several disruptions, but as you look at growers who grow the food and then manufacturing and packaging and shipping, where are the higher inputs, the higher costs coming in as these products get to supermarket shelves?
It really depends because there are so many things in flux. Mm-hmm. With your labor force in flux, you know, can you maintain a consistent production manufacturing schedule? Maybe, maybe not. You might have disruptions coming in or not being able to ship the product out. So there's other than the similar situations in these businesses, whether it's workforce or increased cost, it all gets moved down the line. So, you know, you might send me something that you just made and you might have increased it by a half a percent. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got to absorb that and then I've got to move it. And so it keeps going and going and going. You know, over the years, the supply chain in the grocery industry has been magnificent. It's been efficient, effective. It was tweaked all the time. And as one of my grocery members said to me, we just kind of took that for granted because it was such a well-oiled machine. You know, you order, the product comes, it's on the shelves, and boom, here we go. And even during the early stages of the pandemic, things were still pretty good. The supply chain dealt with shortages because of hoarding and those sorts of things. We don't have a shortage of food or a shortage of products. We have a delay that is not letting the manufacturing and production process reach where it needs to be to satisfy consumer demand.
You know, you know, grocery stores, they operate at such thin profit margins, usually around 2% or less. Has that changed in the pandemic?
No, it hasn't. And actually, I think everybody would love your 2% number. It's a little under one.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. The margins are very thin. Somebody says, well, how do they stay in business? Well, they stay in business because they have to sell a lot of product to be able to go. And, you know, that margin has been tested because of increased costs. And granted, while there has been greater revenue during the pandemic, and that's leveled off a little bit now, it still doesn't change, you know, what your margin is when you bring it in. Mm-hmm. But a price increase, you know, is hard to deal with, because if you don't pass the cost along, pretty soon you'll have zero margin, and you know, you won't have a business anymore. So that's the really hard side of being in the grocery business, when a grocer works and their associates do all they can to, you know, put product on the shelves, make it there, make the store safe, you know, take all the precautions that we've been taking. And then you get a price increase and there's nothing you can do about it. And I know some consumers think that, oh boy, here they go, they're raising prices, they're going to make a little more money. You know, we invite anybody to come in the stores, talk to their store owners and say, geez, I noticed that, you know, I paid a little bit more. What's going on here? Mm. And, you know, I think it's the same thing across the board. You know, we get a price increase at the very end of the supply chain, and that's where we sit.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you expect demand for groceries to really stay strong as people continue to work from home?
Yes, and it's a great question, because it's not only a continue to work from home, but consumers have changed in their outlook on nutrition and how they feed their families. And many of them learned to cook and bake during the pandemic, and that's continued on. You know, the restaurant industry still continues to struggle. We don't like to see that, because, you know, you need a good Main Street, you need a good community, and restaurants are a part of that. But as they continue to struggle, whether it's, you know, not having a workforce or, you know, other mandates, people still are, you know, eating at home, cooking at home. And it's a trend, but I think it's something that is going to continue as part of their routine, as part of their family business.
Brandon Scholes with us, heads up the Wisconsin Grocers Association, as we discuss how supply chain challenges continue to disrupt the food industry. Do you work in a grocery store? What have you seen from the employee side on food costs? Do customers ask about it? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead with Brandon Scholes here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing how the pandemic continues to dramatically affect food producers and grocery stores, and how that's all trickling down to us and what we pay at the grocery checkout. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's get a check on our fall membership drive. I'm here with Mike Crane, and we're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like the morning show. Support from people like you is the largest piece of the funding for WPR programs. And that is why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
You know, Kate, people ask us all the time, don't you hate asking for money? Well, no, for this reason, which is that this is something we all do together. Mm-hmm. You know, the people make the radio shows here, of course, and we work on the member drives. And your support, your generous support, just it makes us feel so good. And today, this is something to really feel good about, because your support can go twice as far. All donations today, up to $60,000, will be matched by a group of generous members.
That is just so incredible. So give now. Your support matters for the WPR programs you love. It will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In just 1 month, there are just hundreds of discussions on the Ideas Network. I was looking back even just at this week and mm-hmm. the things that you've covered. It's just, it's incredible, all the things and hearing the promos for what's coming up on Central Time today and all the rest. just terrific stuff on the Ideas Network. And when you support WPR with a donation, you're making all of those conversations possible. So take a simple and powerful step right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And why not become a sustainer? As a sustaining member, you'll give an amount, say $10 or $15 a month, and that will automatically come out of your bank account or credit card. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to change it.
And that means that we can depend on you the way you depend on us, day in, mm-hmm. day out, year in, and year out. You're still in control. You can change your giving at any time. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Fall is here. In the Midwest, that means changing leaves, apple picking, and days that are too cold for a t-shirt, but too warm for a jacket. This member drive, we have the perfect wardrobe solution. The new WPR long sleeve t-shirt. This navy t-shirt features the WPR and NPR logos on the front and a Wisconsin and WPR inspired design on the back. This soft cotton t-shirt is perfect for all your favorite fall activities. Ask for yours now when you give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you love. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Mike Crane, and it's your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the great programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution, say, is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we absolutely count on your gift.
Now, maybe you've already made a donation this year. Thank you. Or you're a sustaining member. Thank you so much, too. Why not consider making an extra gift, especially today, of $50 or $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this member drive, and then we'll be able to thank you for your extra support for the Ideas Network and WPR.
And it's just amazing. This exciting dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, up to $60,000. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
And you can ask for that WPR long sleeve shirt with the WPR logo and inspired design. $20 a month or more will get you that if you ask for it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you so much for your support. Grocery store chains continue to struggle with supply chain issues, labor shortages, fluctuating prices on products. We're finding out what this all means as we wend our way through the aisles and buy items on our grocery list. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported last week that food prices ticked up slightly in August after larger increases in recent months. Do you notice rising food prices? What food price caught you by surprise? Are you concerned about prices for the Thanksgiving meal? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to join in. Brandon Scholes is CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association and stays with us. Brandon, with the prices rising and as you look at inflationary costs, what does this all mean for the holiday season?
Well, there's a couple of things, because looking forward to Thanksgiving and the December holidays, you know, grocers do buy some of their products on a long-term basis. So orders for turkeys and other things might have gone in 2 months ago or more. So that some products may not come in at a higher price because of when they purchased and what they paid for. Other items, though, that you might see with cranberries or other things that may have an increase as well. It's just a question of what increases and what doesn't. And while the government in its numbers says, you know, here's kind of the inflationary impact, here's the increase in prices, it's not necessarily an across the board. Remember, you know, we have two major categories in there, in energy and food at home. And so when you take out energy, there's a different impact on food. So, you know, bottom line, will there be price increases? Yes, unfortunately, there will. Will it be on everything? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe not as much on one product as the other because they may have put a turkey order in 3 months ago when turkeys were priced at, you know, this price. And even though they've gone up, they're still going to come in at a lower price. So, you know, the other thing about people that shop in grocery stores, about customers, they're pretty savvy shoppers.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you give us some tips on how to shop for the best prices?
Sure. And it's nothing that we're not used to already. People shop on price. They'd look for the best price. They'd look for something on sale. They'd look for a store special, a special of the week. They'll coupon and run coupons. And you know, that couponing can happen online as well. Couponing has moved from that, you know, clip and drop kind of piece of paper to more online, more digital. Those options are still all there. And, you know, I mean, you look at it from the grocer side, they want to sell and they want their customers to be happy and they want them to come back. So this idea of, you know, let's just raise prices through the roof is kind of silly because your customers can go someplace else pretty quickly. So, you know, they're going to do everything they can to keep those prices where they are. If there's an increase that they can't absorb, it's going to have to go through. But remember, the food industry from start to finish, from A to Z in that supply chain, is very resilient, is very smart. You know, and as they can try and rebuild a labor force and try and bring back things to where they used to be, that's an ongoing process that's never going to end. I mean, the entire point is to get back to where we were and work through this pandemic and to keep grocery shoppers happy.
What do you make of being a loyalty member or using loyalty cards in order to get the best deals?
You know, every grocer has a different program. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, loyalty programs are great. Store promotions, in-store promotions are great. All those things that they do to try and give you something back for what you purchased or take something off from, you know, what you paid, you know, right there at the counter. Those are all great things for their customers. And, you know, as long as customers keep wanting those loyalty programs, they'll stick around because they do return a value. They do return a benefit. As you spend money in a grocery store, you're going to get points back or dollars off or whatever the case may be.
Well, very quickly here, we're out of time. Crystal ball, will prices come back down? You know, after the pandemic, what do you see in that crystal ball?
Well, things will settle out. It just depends on what happens with some of those factors we can't control, like workforce and cost of goods sold. You know, nobody's looking to raise prices. Everybody's looking to try and reduce them or stabilize them.
Brandon, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Good luck with the call-ins.
Appreciate it. Brandon Scholes, CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association. News is next here on the Ideas Network. Dozens of staffers at the Wisconsin Historical Society have played a role in public health and workforce development. We are looking at the museum world pivot inside our state on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's get a check on our fall membership drive. I'm here with Mike Crane, and we're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy. Programs like The Morning Show and support from people like you is the largest piece of the funding pie for the programs you value. And that's why your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
So, Kate, I have some great news. 25 gifts so far this hour, and ooh, I think I know the reason. Well, of course, one reason is the great programs, but the other is that right now your gift will go twice as far. All donations up to $60,000 will be matched today by a group of generous members.
That is just so amazing. Give now. Your support for the WPR programs you love will be matched, will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm looking forward to the next conversation and learning about our partner, the Historical Society, and what they were doing to help with public health. And I was fascinated to learn, Kate, from Brandon Scholes, that some prices might not go up for holiday foods just because they were ordered before prices started to go up and the supply chain issues happened.
Oh, amazing.
It's the kind of conversations you can count on from The Morning Show. I know that.
Yeah, WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation at WPR.org or 888 202-252. So it makes the mini topics that you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Think about the money you spend every day. I'm looking here at my cup of tea, and you know, maybe you get takeout, or it all adds up, and it's easy to spend things. Spend on things that are part of your routine.
Well, Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine as well. It's your news source. It's your conversation starter. Your place to learn, to grow. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month. It'll be matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis and I live in Whitewater. I like Wisconsin Public Radio because it has this focus on all things Wisconsin, which is very helpful for learning the culture of the state. And then also, once you're here, it helps you feel connected to the community. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it was easy and I didn't have to think about it. And I knew every month I didn't have to make a conscious choice to do what is right. It just happens. Like, if I am listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this much, I should be giving back to it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Crane this morning. You know, it is listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you depend on. And that's why your support during this fall member drive is critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You know, sometimes people ask us, how much does it cost to be a member? Well, that's actually right. It's up to you. You choose how much you give. Any amount makes a difference. And we suggest some amounts. You heard Kate mention $10 a month or $100 a month. It's up to you. But how about suggesting, I'll suggest that you pay the same as you pay per month for Netflix or cable.
Or coffee, which like WPR, or tea is probably something you look forward to every day. So give now. You pick the amount. Think about the things in your life. Your gift makes a difference, and it'll be matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our big dollar-for-dollar match is in effect. It's a great time to support WPR at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support will go twice as far.
Shout out to Bonnie in Mazamani, says, by WPR hosts, good example. Listeners are invited to nurture their communities by putting civility back into civil discourse. Bonnie, thank you for that comment. Katie in Wausau says, you can't go wrong doing the right thing. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference. Thank you so much for your support. So when the pandemic paused operations at the Wisconsin Historical Society, dozens of staffers pivoted to help state agencies on the front lines of this public health crisis. And the group included registrars and curators and librarians, cartographers. We're finding out how they adapted, offered support, and their unique skill set. Have you worked alongside someone, or you yourself shifted gears, worked in a completely different capacity in these times? What's that been like? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Christian Overland is director of the Wisconsin Historical Society. Christian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Tell us how this went down. How did this collaboration work as you sent staffers to Department of Health Services and Workforce Development?
Sure. Well, the Wisconsin Historical Society is an independent agency of the state government. And like everybody in last March in 2020, actually, people mostly thought this was going to be like a four-month pandemic at best. But we realize, of course, now it's not that. But what happened was is the Department of Workforce Development started getting a lot of calls about unemployment benefits, and they became overrun. So the Department of Administration asked for help. We stepped up to help. We moved over about 20 employees at that point in time because we had a lot of experience in customer service, too. So we started adjudicating claims and helping our Department of Workforce Development colleagues help our residents improve their quality of life. And then as 2020 went on, as we all remember last fall, the pandemic got worse. And so DHS, we started approaching them if they needed help, because we saw the need, you know, to do that. And we moved about 50 people over the past year to help out. Everything from testing, setting up testing sites, to database management, you name it, we were involved helping our colleagues. Not only just helping our residents' quality of life, but we're also saving lives.
What did the skill sets that you brought from the Historical Society, what effect did that have? Because it's not the same skill set you would find within a public health or within workforce development.
Right. So, you know, what we do is we're historians, right? We managed objects, library, books, archives, and we do a lot of intake of those things too. So we one way to think about it is we look at collections or things that are maybe in chaotic condition. We make sense of it. We organize them. So we're organizers of data. Mm-hmm. And as historians, we're also investigators of data. And we look at things and how trends are happening. So we started to help out by moving archivists over to really looking at the data that was coming in to organize it. We had our people from our finance group looking at it too and looking at trends. Even our cultural cartographers, the mappers, right, the people who draw maps for us, started looking at trends on the interstate systems about people getting off and where people were getting infected. So what we did is we helped our Department of Health Services colleagues look at the data, manage the data, and actually project manage some of this work too, such as one of our directors of a historic site, Kelly Mertron, she runs the Madeline Island Museum, set up a testing center in the only pharmacy in Bayfield County last November. So you name it, we just stepped up and figured it out. But our skill set, again, is about organizing data and solving problems. And that's what needed to be done.
How have you seen your staff grow and change through these times when they've had to do and use their skills in a completely different way?
Well, you know, it was a pivot, right? It's not what people signed up for. No one signed up for the pandemic, you know, either. But we were pleased at how our staff stepped up. And I have to say, I'm very proud of them because it was hard, hard work. There were long days. There were some days clocked in at 18, 20 hours to try and deal with all this data and adjudicating unemployment claims. So there were a lot of things that were going on. What happened through that process, though, is I think they had amazing opportunities to use their skills in new ways. They learned the value of their skills in our community in a different way. They came back with more leadership skills than they had for some of them, and also came back understanding how change could happen and how we can grow our own organization and look at history differently, too, and help the residents.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Christian Overland, who's director of the Wisconsin Historical Society, learning how in the pandemic his staffers went to help out in other areas, other agencies like public health and workforce development. Have you been in this situation as well, working in a completely different area? How did that change you? Join in 800-642-1234. Christian, are there still Historical Society staffers still working with DHS or DWD?
Most people came back, but we have one person still at DHS helping out. And that's because they have an incredible skill set in data to help out DHS. Many things that have happened in the past year, the team like curators were looking at historical trends, like looking at the 1918 global pandemic, the 1950s polio scare, other public health crises too. And they were helping DHS leadership to think about understanding Wisconsin's contemporary cultures by what people went through in the past. So we started something with DHS called the Cultures Initiative, Wisconsin Cultures Initiative, really looking at how to deal with historic inequities in public health and mistrust of some of the information, and really helping DHS look at how that happened in the past and how they could address today's contemporary world.
Will that work continue on? The Cultures Initiative, yeah.
So, yes, I think for us, you know, our look at that is we looked at the 1918 global pandemic, our archives, and we saw a hole in there, and we didn't see the public's voice from 1918. We had public health records. We had the public council records, too, state records. But the voice of the people going through the pandemic was not there. So we started a journaling project, and over 2,500 people have signed up for that. And now we're doing the intake of some of these journals. So that's giving people a voice in today's pandemic that can be used for the future, too. The other kind of cultural initiative that we're working on, too, is a poster project with Wisconsin artists, allowing the artists to express their graphic design in messaging, just like the old World War One posters, like We Want You, Uncle Sam posters, mm-hmm. or the WPA call to action posters in the 1930s, using those historical kind of themes, but repurposing it with today's graphics and today's message about the pandemic. So we found out new ways to do this, too, by working with our DHS colleagues, and we're going to continue to do that. And one of the things that we are very happy about is it aligns the different divisions of the state for DWD, DHS, and us. We see some overlap now, how we can help each other in the future.
Yeah, it's not so siloed. You know, going back to the COVID journal project, are you still receiving materials for that project and the public's voice?
Oh, yes. And actually, we're still having people sign up for it.
Okay.
So, you know, it's an amazing project. Like I said, it kicked off in April of 2020. And one of the things that we're seeing, like I said, there's more than 2,500 people signed up for it. We've received thus far 200-plus journals that people have already given us, whether they're art journals or the digital format. We're digitizing them, too. Approximately two-thirds are done. Mm. But to give you an idea, they're coming from all walks of life, from all regions. So, there's kids that are writing journals in their classrooms. There's university students. There's the kind of expressing loss of prom or loss of graduation. We also recently received a journal from a prisoner in the Wisconsin correction system that went through being infected with COVID and their experience through that.
Mm.
Yeah. It's and powerful. So people are adding to their journals, too. Like some people gave us their journals last summer, but when they got vaccinated, they're doing the next version. And then we recently received a 13-volume handwritten journal from a person that journaled from 2020 in April to this past August.
Wow, 13 volumes.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow.
So this is a gift to the future. If you think about how people are living through the pandemic right now and trying to figure that out, everything from Zooming to how they social distance, their social constructs of family, how they're dealing with that, creating pods, if you will, or doing other things, traveling in safe ways. This is all coming through. And like I said, it's a really wonderful gift to the future.
Christian, how are your historical sites and museums across the state doing? How are they faring at this point?
Oh, thanks for asking, Kate. The Wisconsin Historical Society sites opened up this summer. We had a hard time last year where we were shut down because of the pandemic, because, you know, people just didn't want to be that close to each other. And so we opened back up. We had some of the big ones, meaning Circus World Museum, the museum in downtown Madison, the Historical Museum, as well as Old World Wisconsin and Black Point open up in July. And also Madeline Island opened up in July. And the smaller sites opened up in August. So we're back. We're now on the regular schedule. So this fall, we have some special events and people can see them. And the wonderful thing that we're hearing about the public is they like being outside doing things. And so I encourage people to go for in-state tourism, get out of doors. It's safe. Go around to some of these sites and some other wonderful Wisconsin opportunities too, state parks and such, and experience what we have to offer, because it's an amazing opportunity for people at this point in time.
Have you been able to get relief from federal pandemic dollars?
Yes. Governor Evers actually gave us $1 million this past July to open up our historic sites, which was a wonderful opportunity for us because we had some limitations due to the loss of revenue last year. So that was great to open up. We've also received from the National Endowment Humanities mm-hmm. a grant that's going to help us with our collections to get them moving again. And we've received also for Circus World Museum a wonderful grant from the COVID American CARES Act that allows the performance to continue too. So that's for this, that app actually was for this summer and it'll be for next summer as well.
Christian, thank you for joining us and sharing the experience.
Thank you, Kate.
Christian Overland is director of the Wisconsin Historical Society. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Stay with us next hour when we prepare for the Ryder Cup as the golf world descends on Wisconsin. Now it is our fall membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer Kent with Mike Crane. And you know, listener contributions are the largest source of funding at WPR. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including the morning show, on the air and going strong. So make your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've had 33 gifts so far this morning, and I suspect one of the reasons is this wonderful challenge where your gift will go twice as far. Mm. All donations up to $60,000 will be matched by a group of generous members.
No time like the present, as they say. Give now. Your support for the WPR programs you love will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, every day on the Ideas Network, we learn something new. We just heard about how staffers from the Historical Society became part of the public health and workforce development teams during the pandemic. Among the many things, mapping skills of cartographers from the Society helped to map the movement of the coronavirus around the state. Very cool. Mm. And these are the kinds of conversations you can count on from The Morning Show.
We're always learning something new here, and WPR is listener supported. And that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And I'm going to suggest $20 a month, and here's why. We have a beautiful new long-sleeve shirt printed right here in Wisconsin. It's a navy shirt with the WPR logo on the front and a Wisconsin-inspired design on the back. You can show off your WPR pride when you ask for that and give $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At Wisconsin Public Radio, we ask you to decide how much to give. And no matter what you choose, you get 24 hours a day of news, talk, music, and entertainment in return. That's a great deal. Where do you wish you could get that kind of deal?
Just about anywhere. My education, a vacation, or anything really I could think about spending, I wish I could choose to pay.
Oh, beer?
A great Italian meal.
During this pledge drive, we ask you to contribute as generously as you can. And, unlike with other things, you'll always be the one to decide how much to give.
Here's how. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Mike Crane. Your support during this fall member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And a group of generous members have created a wonderful challenge up to $60,000.
Wow.
To inspire your support. Yeah, wow. To inspire your support today. For as long as it lasts, your gifts will be matched.
Oh, yeah. Pile them in right now because we've already had 44 in the door. Let's keep this going. There is room for you. There is ceiling here, as they say. Double your impact for the programs you value. Get in on this match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've certainly all experienced this, that our world is getting more complex all the time. Mm. You know you can rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understanding, so you know how things will affect you.
So for you to get programs that are relevant to your life, we rely on your financial giving. It is the largest source of our funding. And that's why that we ask that if you've never given before, do it. Make your first ever contribution now. Say $10 a month or $120 during this fall member drive right now with this great match going on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 8252.
Support the programs you value and ask for the new WPR long sleeve shirt. And that's just a $20 a month gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, I want to give a shout out to Cheryl in Norway who says, I listen to WPR every morning before I start teaching. I live in Norway and this brings me closer to my family in Wisconsin. That is just remarkable, the range. Your gift right now, so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552, and thank you for your support.